Good morning to each of you, and greetings in the name of Jesus today. Thank you, Chad, for those thoughts. Being able to trust and to give thanks, even in difficult times, is a good challenge for me. And God bless you, Dawson, as you head west and north. And Kristen, as you go along, have a good trip, and may God be near to you as you take up the work there. Can you open your Bibles to Judges chapter 16 for the message this morning? I'd like to take your attention to an Old Testament character and just draw some simple truths for us here today. As Christian people, as we live here in Pennsylvania, I think there are some truths from the life of Samson that can help us in the battle that you and I are in. I'd like to just break into the story, and we'll start at verse 4 of chapter 16 and read a number of verses here in this chapter. And it came to pass afterward that he, speaking of Samson, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein is his great strength, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, waiting in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awakened out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and has not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and shall be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. And we'll stop there. What a story. What a sad story. Of the strongest man that ever lived. The title for the message is Helps in Overcoming Temptation. And I guess I will not follow Brother Edwin Eby's example where he gives 3 or 4 or 5 different titles for his messages. Sometimes that might be helpful. But the burden of the message this morning is for us as Christians to understand temptation and how to fight against it. And how not to end up like the strong man, the strongest man that ever lived. He ended up, I have verse 21 underlined. You can end up, if you fall into temptation, you will end up with your eyes blinded. You'll be bound with fetters of brass and you'll grind in the prison house. And so it's essential for us today to understand the forces that we are fighting against and understand them and persevere against them so we don't end up like this character did, Samson. And sometimes perhaps the reasons that we fail to be victorious over the temptations that come is because we don't think properly about temptations, what they are, how serious they are. Is it a big thing? Is it something small? Does it matter that much? Perhaps we lack experience. Perhaps we don't have the wisdom to understand it properly. Sometimes we think temptation will come to us through the front door looking like a wolf. It'll be easy to see what this thing is. And it'll be easy to say no to it. It'll be easy to turn the other way. It'll be easy to defeat this thing, but that's not how temptation works. It looks for the crack in the floorboard. It looks for the bedroom window. It's sneaky, and it's deceptive. It's subtle. It's not very visible in the moment what this thing is. Temptation that comes to us, it relies upon surprising us. It relies on deception, and it relies upon our ignorance to what this is, to get us to give in to it. And so this morning, if we want to gain victory over the temptations that you and I face, and we face them every day, temptations come to me every day. I have choices that I need to make every day. So do you. One of the first steps in dealing with those temptations is to recognize the war that you and I are in. We are in a war. And are you willing to act like you're in a war? Think about it in a physical sense. If you were a soldier in an army and you were in live fighting on the field, how would you respond and how would you act? Where would your attention be? And what would you be doing? You wouldn't have to wonder who you were at that given point, but sometimes in the world that you and I live, we forget who we are. that we are soldiers, and that there is a war raging that's even more serious than a physical war that may take your physical life. But this is a battle that is meant to get your soul and to destroy you. As I look at my own life and as I think about if I were a soldier on the battlefield in a physical sense, I think I would be all alert to make sure I had all the best equipment and everything just right to be able to protect myself as best as I could. But I wonder, as I look at my own spiritual life, if I'm that faithful in my spiritual walk. And do I recognize how important it is as a Christian to live faithfully above temptation and the pull that comes at us to get us to be sidetracked and distracted? And so this morning, we want to study the enemy of our soul and discover some of his tactics. The thing about our enemy this morning is he is not original. Everything, he's tried the same things through every generation. He's tried all his tricks. And he comes to us in the same ways over and over again. If you look back through history and the people, the faces, the things that people faced in the past, he has the same ways of bringing people down. He's the same enemy. And he is determined to have you if you are a child of God. If you're not a child of God this morning, he's not real concerned about you. He already has you. And so this is for those of us who are children of God this morning. We're no match for the things that come to us. And so I think the story this morning will help us in dealing with and understanding the temptations that come to us to be victorious and effective in defeating these things. I just have four simple truths to share with us this morning that come from this story. And number one is temptation has a mission. And the mission of temptation this morning is to ruin you. It's to rob you. It's to rob you of God. No temptation is innocent. There's a purpose for it. No temptation is small. There's no trivial temptations that come to us. All have serious consequences. All of the temptations that you and I face are plotted for one purpose. And that is never-ending misery. That is the mission of temptation. We need to get a grip of that and of the temptations that you and I face and the seriousness of them. The quote that I came across says this: temptation will please you to abuse you, seduce you to undo you, distract you to destroy you. What motivated Delilah to be as determined as she was to get Samson to fall? What was it that just made her so motivated to get this man to be bound, to be destroyed? Well, in verse 5, they said they were going to give her a lot of money. Perhaps that was part of it that motivated her to be determined to get this man, this strong man that no one else could get. She wanted to get him. But I believe deep down, rooted in her heart, it was not just the love of money that she wanted, but she really hated Samson. She hated him. She didn't like him. Back in chapter 15, Samson had just taken a jawbone of an ass and he had killed 1,000 men with it. With a bone. And these Philistines were angry at him. And they wanted to get him. They wanted him dead. And so Delilah, even in the moment, it may have seemed that she loved Samson. It may have seemed that this was for Samson's good. Deep in her heart was not with Samson. It was against him. It was to destroy him. Her heart was with the murderous men that waited in her bedroom every time she tried something to get him. That's where her heart was. No temptation is for our good. It's not innocent. It's not small. And she was determined to weaken this man. In Proverbs chapter 5, I'll just reference a couple verses there. Proverbs 5, verses 3 and 4 says this, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword." And so, like the forbidden woman, temptation this morning is going to be dripping with honey, and it may seem sweet, but it's not. Verse 4, it's bitter as wormwood, and it's sharp. It's going to hurt you. It's like a two-edged sword. It will seem as honey from a honeycomb. It will seem like it's going to please you. In verse 9 of chapter 5 says this, "Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel." Failing to live above temptation this morning will steal you of your honor, and it will waste your life. You will give your years unto the cruel. Verse 10, "Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger." It will spoil all of your resources, failing to live above temptation, and it will ruin all of your work. Verse 11, "And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed." Failing to live above temptation this morning will destroy you. It will destroy your physical body, and you'll end your life in misery and regret. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus says that the thief comes only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I'm giving you truths from Scripture this morning about the seriousness of temptation. We must be gripped with this. It will help us in facing temptation. And so the truth this morning about the mission of temptation, no matter how sweet or pleasurable it may seem, no matter how it may look like honey, it will destroy you. That's the final outcome of failing to be victorious above temptation. It will get you bound up in chains, and you'll become blind, and you'll be in prison. Temptation has a mission. Number 2 is temptation appeals to us through pleasure. The Philistines' lords, they told Delilah in verse 5, they said to her to entice this man, seduce him, do all you can to be attractive to this man to get him. And she did. She did all that she could to get this man to come to her. and she got him. But the truth is this morning that before temptation is able to bring you down, it will always, always give you some sort of promise of satisfaction, of fulfillment, of feeling good. It will always promise you something. Something that you do need. And you'll fall for it. We might have expected her to come to Samson with a bunch of flattery and smooth words. But I guess I was intrigued with the way that she endeavored to entice this man. How she endeavored to go about getting this man. She didn't even try to conceal what she was up to. In verse 6, she said, you know, tell me where your great strength is, because we want to bind you up. We want to afflict you. How was that enticing to Samson? What was in that that's enticing? I mean, wouldn't that look like the wolf that's coming in the front door? It's pretty obvious what's going on, right? She's asking him directly for his secret. The secret of his strength. This is a deep personal question that she's asking Samson. To us, it seems black and white. It doesn't seem like seduction at all, but sharing deeply, deep truths about who we are with another person, there's intimacy that flows between people when that happens. When you share deep things about your soul with your wife, or with your husband, or with a friend, there is an intimacy that happens. And that's what was happening here. There's intimacy that was flowing when she was begging Samson to, like, talk deep to me. I want to know your heart. Where's the strength at? She was testing his love for her. She wanted to draw him deeper. Well, obviously, verse 7, Samson didn't trust her. He lies to her. But he seemed to have enjoyed her attention, or he wouldn't have given her the second try or the third try. There was something that was appealing to Samson with her. And he put up with her games because I believe he tasted of her love. But I'm telling this morning that it was the most empty love that you could ever taste. But it pleased him. And so I'm suggesting to us this morning that all sin hangs on such love. And that's why we do the things that we do, because we're in a search for love. And so, the power of all temptation is the promise that it will either make you happy or it'll make you happier. I have never sinned in my life out of a sense of duty, out of the sense of obligation to do it. I've never sinned that way. That's not how we sin. Think of the sins that you grappled with. And what happiness or what they promised to give to you that made you repeat them and do them. There was something there that was pulling you into it. And so this morning, sinful pleasures will always be appealing to us if our hearts and our minds have not been set on a superior pleasure and a superior love. And there's just two verses in Psalms 16 I'll just read for you. Promises that God gives to us. Verse 11. God says this, that thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So there's fullness in God's presence, and there are pleasures forevermore at his right hand. We're talking about fullness, and we're talking about wholeness this morning that comes from God. But so often we sell out for just a fraction of it. We don't get much at all when we give in to the temptations that come to us. We settle for way less. Pleasures that are forevermore, not short-lived thrills. Not things that please us for the moment. The lust, the greed, the envy, the laziness. Those things only bring us just sweet, short, little moments of pleasure, and that's it. And you wake up feeling empty and not very good about yourself. And so joy comes this morning by the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And joy will begin to permeate your life as you begin to walk in the Spirit. And you walk in the Spirit by putting to death the things that your flesh wants and cries out for. It seems like a paradox, but the way to joy this morning is not pursuing the pleasures that are short-lived. They'll bring you up empty every time, but it's rather saying no to those things and saying yes to the one who is the giver of joy, who is the pleasure-giving God. And as you begin to live life in the Spirit, you'll begin to see how empty some of those things were that I gave my life for over and over again. Like how empty it was, how useless it was, how vain it was, how it was nothing. It meant nothing. And so the power of temptation relies on us believing that sin is better than full and forever. That's what God is promising to us this morning. That's what he wants to give to us. And you will become overcome with temptations if you have become tired with God, if you've become bored with God, if your communication with God is not very good. It's just sort of like lackadaisical, and you just sort of just floating along. You're going to get hit pretty hard, and you're likely going to fall down. Tap into God through his word. God, the creator of the universe, he is this morning the deepest and the strongest pleasure that you and I will ever be able to enjoy. And I plead with you to pursue after him. Let all the other stuff go. It's not worth it. It'll lead you astray. Number three, temptation brings and adds shame. Perhaps you're able to withstand against the temptations that come to you from the pleasure standpoint. You're able to stand against them. But there's more tactics that will begin to come to you, and you'll start to feel some shame about your life. You remember things you did in the past. You remember what you used to do, and perhaps even today you said or did something that wasn't as a Christian ought to have said or did. And you begin to feel shame about who you are. Delilah was not making any progress with this man. Three times she endeavored to get him, and every time she looked like the fool. And Samson walked out as the victor. And so the enticing wasn't working. It was falling flat. And she says in verse 15, she says, "How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with thee? me? Thou hast mocked me these three times. She begins to question Samson's integrity. You're lying to me. You tell me that, how can you say that I love you when this is how you treat me? You said your heart is not with me. Can you catch the irony of that? I mean, where was her heart? Was it with Samson? Her heart was with the men that was hiding in the chamber waiting to get him. That's where her heart was. She didn't really want this man's heart. That's how temptations come to us. They're hidden. Their motives are hidden, but they want to make you feel ashamed of who you once were or who you are. They want to make you feel shame. And you begin to, in your mind, you begin to have doubts and you question. And you begin to wonder, well, maybe, do I really love God? And perhaps one of the reasons that we give in to temptation is we begin to believe the lies that he brings to us, that this is who we are. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 calls Satan the accuser of the brethren, and he says that he is busy doing that once a year, twice a month, but it says day and night. Day and night, Satan's busy. All right, he's out to get us. And if he can convince you this morning that you are the same old person, that your situation is too deep to get out of, there's no hope for you, this is too much tangled up, and the shame begins to heap on you, that same old person, you still give in to anger, you still give in to lust, you still give in to anger, you still give in to laziness, maybe he is right. He'll get you to do almost anything if you start to believe those lies that he'll give to you. If the shame heaps upon you, he has a lot of control over you. Because shame and self-pity, that's the food that keeps Satan alive. If there's no shame, if there's no self-pity, his plots and his scheming, they'll starve to death. He's an accuser. How are you going to fight him? Are you prepared for the doubts, for the shame that will come to you? It will come. And I just have a number of verses that have helped me as I have learned to fight against and be victorious against temptation in my own personal walk and in my own personal life. Because you have to tell yourself the truth about who you are. If you made things right, if you took the necessary paths to clear yourself, then you latch on to the promises of God. And you begin to trust them. You believe them. This is who I am. This is who God says I am. Obviously, if you're still walking in hidden things, don't trust the promises of God this way, but trust them to deliver you. And to save you, he'll help you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There, you memorize that verse. That's one good verse to tell yourself who you are when you begin to doubt. When you begin to be tempted with doing something you know is wrong. This is who I am. I can't do it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is who I am. I'm crucified with my King, and I'm living with him. Colossians chapter 2. And verse 14 says this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. My sin has been canceled. It's been forgiven. That's who I was. I'm no longer that, no more. My sin is gone. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I don't need to have sin roll over me. I am no longer bound by the power of sin. It doesn't need to have dominion over me. I can be free. I can choose not to do that. I can do that. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. Child of God, this morning, if you're one of His, claim the promises of God by faith and believe them. They're going to be an anchor for you as you face temptation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You don't need to feel shame this morning because of who we are in Jesus. We're a child of His. It's been forgiven us. It's been washed away. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There's a way to walk out of that temptation. There's a way to be faithful in the temptations that come to us. We don't have to succumb to them. God will give me everything I need to resist them. Trust Him for it. There's more verses, but I will stop there. But brothers and sisters, this morning, you and I need to be active in finding these verses in our Bibles, underlining them, memorizing them, knowing them, because we're going to need them to help us fight. All right? So be faithful. Be faithful in using these verses to help you over the temptations that come to you. And number 4 is temptation will wear you out. And we see that here in our story. Delilah tried everything she could to get him, and she wasn't successful. And verse 16 says that she pressed him daily with her words and urged him. What began as fun, what began as playing around and just having a good time, ended in fatigue and despair. And she pressed him. And she urged him, and she pressed him, and she urged him, and she pressed him, and she urged him until his soul was vexed unto death. She pressed him over and over until it was too much, and he caved, he gave in. Do you have temptations that feel like that? That just urge you day after day, press you, and they just sort of vex you? I have temptations that feel like that. Don't think of temptation as a single arrow. That's just one shot and over. But think of it as a wave, and it It's broad and it's wide, and it's just pressing in against you. And it might give some relief as it goes back, but it'll come again. And it just wants to keep pushing against you. The tide may go out, but it's coming again. Temptation's like a wave. It's pressing. It wants to exhaust you. It wants to wear you out. It wants to break you down. You begin to give under it. It's weighty. And you go and you fall. Maybe you were able to resist anger towards your wife or towards your husband for a month. But you know, things just keep coming all the time. And soon, all of a sudden you just snap one day and it's like, oh, you blow up. It's like that wave that kept pressing in, pressing in, pressing in. And it got you. Or maybe you refused to click on that website at first, but later you were tired, more vulnerable, and you clicked on it. Maybe you worked hard all week long. You come to Saturday and Sunday, it's like, ugh, it's time to sit around and do nothing. You become lazy. You spend time on your devices, wasting time, doing useless things. Maybe there's a child and you just have a hard time. You're just always critical of them. And that's something I need some help with, need to work on. Learn to be thankful and see good things in children and not always critical of them. They can stack up to all of a sudden. It's like, ugh. You say something you wish you would have not said. Maybe you're able to eat with self-control for a couple weeks, but then, you know, it's like, you give in to it again, like, and you start eating again. Okay, done that? Like, cut some things out, and then did that for a month, all of a sudden it's like, you give in to it again. This is how temptation wants to get us. Temptations hinge on exhausting you, making you tired, and breaking you down so you give up and you give in. That's what happened to Samson. He crumbled, he surrendered up. And so this morning we are familiar with the weapons that God has given to us to use. When we mention some of them, his word and prayer, the fellowship here, the accountability that's right here within these benches, these are all helps for us in fighting temptation. But I'm going to suggest to us this morning that our ability to stand against temptation and the attacks that come to us rest at least partly on something other than just that. And that is the health and the vitality of our bodies. And you may wonder about that. But I'm suggesting to us this morning that we live in a culture that wants to produce men and women who are undisciplined, who are careless, who actually don't have the fortitude to press forward and to get to the end of something. It's too hard. We've become so soft. We have everything so easy. We find it difficult to do hard things. Well, Paul says that he brings his body into subjection. Listen, I can actually control this body. We can do that. We're capable of doing that. And so, healthy eating, good sleeping, and regular exercise if you're not a farmer, they're important for us because it produces discipline in your life that will aid you, not just physically, but also emotionally, not just emotionally, but also spiritually. This is a whole package. We want to separate some of those out from each other, but it's not good for us to do that. We can't. We shouldn't. And so discipline yourself, young man, to get out of bed in the morning. Get up and get going. Don't lay in bed doing nothing. Get up. There's no reason to be in bed. If you got some sleep, get up and get going. Occupy yourself. Occupy yourself. Be involved in doing good things. Be involved with other people. Do things that are profitable, not things that are just sort of wasteful. Figure out things to do that help you. And so I believe this morning that a healthy and a disciplined body is perhaps a stronger weapon than perhaps we give credit to in overcoming temptation. And so, are you willing to be a disciplined person this morning for a lifetime? Because we're a soldier. Soldiers need to be disciplined. We don't go to boot camp, but there's many things that we can do that will help us physically be whole. And I know how it is like to not feel good. And it's those times that you begin to, that temptations really have a strong pull on you when your health isn't very good. And they'll want to get you. They'll bring doubts to you. You just give in to things way more easier. So if you're physically healthy this morning, keep it up. Well, this morning, prepare for war. Prepare for war. We are in a war. This is a battleground. We are fighting. And it's going to take a lot of hard work. And it's going to take disciplined men and women that are going to be able to make it through. If you're not disciplined this morning, you're not going to make it to the end. Bring and keep your body into subjection. Stay close to God. He's the author of your joy. He's the anchor of your identity. He is your assurance. He is your security. Trust in Him and His Word, but do your part. Get some sleep, eat healthy, and be active. Well, in Christ and through Christ and by Christ, look, the victory's guaranteed this morning. Victory's guaranteed. We're not fighting a lost, hopeless cause this morning, but a person that is disciplined and that's willing to press on and do some hard things, even physically, it's going to take that. They're going to make it to the end. All the way to the end. This is not a day-long race, but it's a lifelong race. So may God help you this week. May God help you this week. Be faithful. Not like Samson. Perhaps you're in the prison house. Perhaps you have your eyes gored out, as it were. Perhaps you are bound. Well, I'm offering hope to you today, too. There's hope for you. You don't have to live like that. There's freedom to be found. So may God help us all as we look at our own lives to be able to be a faithful soldier who will rise above the temptations that come to us. Let's kneel for prayer.